Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are God. I thank you for this moment that you've given us here in your house and in your time. I pray, Father, would you speak your truth to our hearts today? Father, as we strive to know Christ, as we long to know him better, I pray, Father, that you would fill our hearts with the love and the grace and the comfort that comes from him. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Martha was a very hard worker. In her family, she was the responsible one. She was the one who would take charge and make sure that the things that needed to get done would get done. She had a brother and a sister that she loved very, very much. She was the kind of girl who liked to control things, liked order, and make sure everything was in its place and everything where it was supposed to go. And you could find her always busy doing something. She was making meals and cleaning the house and picking up after other people and taking care of other people. Order was her friend. She loved everything to be just so as it should be. She was the kind of girl that you didn't have to guess how she was feeling. She would tell you. She was very direct and to the point, and she wouldn't beat around the bush. She would tell you exactly how she felt. The town that she lived in was a place that took care of people who were poor and needy and sick. So there was always somebody to help. There was always something that needed to get done. So when her brother got sick, she was more than ready to help. She was more than ready to jump right in to take care of him, to nurse him back and help him get healthy again. And she was willing to try everything, all the medicine, all the different plans, all the options, anything it took to get him healthy. And when one thing didn't work, they'd try another. When that one didn't work, they'd try another one. But instead of getting better, her brother just got more sick and more sick. And Martha got desperate, and she started pleading with God. God, would you please help my brother? God, would you please save my brother? God, would you please heal my brother? She pled and she pled and she pled on behalf of her brother. She did everything she could to help him, but still her brother died. And when he did, this overwhelming disappointment set in. She said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died.
Don't let me down. He does. Yeah, He does.
Mary was the emotional one. She was the girl who wore her feelings right on her sleeve for all to see. If compassion had a face, it would be the face of Mary. She was the girl who'd give you the shirt off her back if you need it. She'd give you the very last dollar she had to make sure that you wouldn't go without. She just had that kind of heart that she saw people and she connected with them. She was empathetic to their needs. She'd hold your hand on the bad days and laugh with you on the good ones. And where Martha was always busy doing something, Mary could most often be found in the company of others. Or you could find her out just thinking and contemplating on life and the way things were. She'd quickly drop anything that she was doing if you called on her. She'd be more concerned with helping people and enjoying their company and just being with them than the things that needed to get done. She was incredibly passionate about the things that she believed in and the people that she loved. She was quick to put others first. She was super quick to see to people's needs and wants and feelings. It was true in the case of her brother and sister, and it was true in the case of everybody who knew her. So when her brother got sick, her heart broke. She wept and she wept and she wept. She not only pleaded with God on behalf of her brother, but she got down on her knees and poured out her heart to him. She said, God, please save my brother. I'll do anything that you want me to do. If you please would just heal him. And when he died, her tears could not be contained. You couldn't stem the flow of heartbreak that came out of her eyes. She wept her pain and her loss. But she was not alone in her weeping, because Jesus wept right alongside of her. Christ joined her there in her pain, and he was there as she mourned the loss of her brother.
Feeling small.
We've pleaded with God before. We said, God, if you just could please show up. We've bargained with God. God, if you please would just make this happen. I promise if you'll just do this thing, I'll do anything that you ask. I've pled with God. I've been down on my knees and wept before God. I felt this pain and this loss that just, it cracks your heart open wide. And I felt that disappointment when God didn't do the thing that we thought he should do. We lost a friend this week, and we begged God on her behalf. We cried out to God. But in reasoning beyond what we can understand, he called her home. And our hearts just weep at the loss. I've watched a young girl fight a vicious disease. I baptized her and saw her give her life to Christ. And every day she faced the pain joyfully. Even though this disease was wrecking her body, she shone this light that was so bright. We were all blown away by it. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed on her behalf. But in God's wisdom that we didn't understand, he called her home. I've held my aunt's hand as she wept over the loss of her son. When he died unexpectedly, nobody was prepared. Nobody could expect what was going to happen. And all we could do was just weep together and say, God, what happened? God, where were you when this happened? But in all of this disappointment, in all of this pain, Christ meets us where we are. Christ meets us in this disappointment, and he offers himself as the solution to our pain. He offers himself as the bridge to our loss. That when we face these hard times, that when we are confronted with these tragedies and these loss, Christ becomes a bridge to us that sees us through. And today he offers us the same words that he offered to his friends Mary and Martha. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. These words that Christ gives us, he says, because I'm the resurrection and the life, I can meet your problems. I can handle your grief. Your pain and your disappointment, they're never too much for me. Christ says, I can offer myself as the solution to this pain that you're experiencing, the answer to this heartbreak that you've been through, that when life has made you weary, when life has worn you thin and you're overwhelmed, Christ comes alongside of us and he walks us through the pain. He says, friends, I'm on your side. I'm gonna take your part and see you through. When Martha was so overwhelmed with the pain and disappointment of losing her brother, she didn't turn away from Christ. In fact, being Martha, she charged right up to him. She went right up to Christ and said, what happened? Where were you? If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she took her disappointment to him. But Christ didn't reject her. When she charged up to him, Christ didn't turn his back, but instead he answered her and met her where she was. When Mary was so overcome with emotion, all she could do was throw herself at the feet of Christ, just wrecked by the loss of her brother. Christ didn't turn away from her in her grief. Christ didn't turn his back on her loss and her heartbreak. Instead, he turned toward her and he wept right alongside of her. His heart was moved at the loss of his friend. His heart was moved at the loss that these sisters were experiencing. And when we bring our pain and our disappointments to Christ, friends, he doesn't turn his back on us either. He doesn't turn away from us. He'll take our part. He'll grab our hand and see us through the darkest night. He'll receive us the way that he received Mary and Martha. When Christ says, I'm the resurrection and the life, he's saying, I can handle your grief. I can handle your pain. I can carry your loss. Your questions, your disappointments, they're not going to put me off. Many of us have pleaded with God to do something, to change something, to save somebody, and it didn't happen. And our hearts are just overwhelmed with the hurt and the pain. But rather than turning to Christ in these moments, we find ourselves moving away from him. These questions that set in, these unanswerable questions that just overwhelm us, instead of going to Christ with them, instead of showing up and charging to Christ and saying, what happened? They burn their way through our hearts, and we find ourselves moving away from him. And the hardest truth, one of the hardest truths we face is we can't choose what the world will send us. We can't choose when heartache comes. We can't choose the losses that we experience and the ones that we don't. We can't choose them. But we do get to choose how we think about them, how we act on them, and what we do with them. Because it's not the things that happen to us in life that make or break us. It's not the things that happen to us that define us, but it's the way we think about them. It's what we do with them when they happen. And Christ offers us the same compassion that he shared with Mary and Martha, the same love that he showed his friends when they were sad. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. That when you know me, you know hope and you know life. That in these moments of deepest pain, we aren't alone. That Christ walks with us, supporting us at times and carrying us out at others. That the God we know will not leave us or forsake us. That the God we know does not abandon us in moments of our greatest need. But we also know that what we suffer, we do not suffer in vain. Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, which also means he's at work making things right. That God's doing a work beyond what I can understand. That there is no sorrow that exists that God cannot heal. That Jesus Christ is at work redeeming what is wrong and healing what is broken. And so often I misunderstand Christ. I miss Christ because he doesn't do the thing I expected him to do, because he didn't do the thing I thought that he should have done. I think he isn't listening. I think he doesn't care. I think he doesn't hear these pleas, these cries of our hearts. But these words that Christ extends when he says, I am the resurrection and I am alive, they're comfort and they're a promise as well. The comfort is this, that God has an eternal view of life, that God has this eternal view, not just of our life, but of our world and of our history that we live. Timothy Keller said, our world is not all there is. There is life and love after death, that evil and suffering will one day end. It means not just hope for the world despite all of its unending problems, but hope for you and me despite all of our unending failings. So often in grief and pain, I forget this. I forget that God's at work with an eternal view of this world. I'm so caught up in my view, in my pain, and how I see things, and how I experience this life that I'm living, that I forget that the God we know, the God we love, has an eternal view of everything, beyond my view, beyond my limited, just little drop in the bucket of what I see and understand. God has the view of everything, of what was, what is, and what's going to come. That this life we live, it's more than just what's happening here and now. It's more than just what I can see and feel and touch. There's more, so much more to this life than just this short span that we spent here. Because beyond this life, beyond this time, there is an eternal God who is at work. And this eternal God loves us. This eternal God knows us by name and invites us to know him in return. And though this life we feel pain and loss and disappointment, we still know a Christ who wants to meet us there, who wants to show us the way home, whose arms are open, who's ready to comfort us in the moments of loss, to carry the weight we've carried so long, to shoulder the pain that's been dogging us down, to strengthen our souls, to give us all that we need, not to quit, but to persevere. That's the comfort. And then the promise of it is there is one who's not put off by death. There's one who is not conquered by death. There is one who has power not just over life, but death itself. That the God we know is God of the living as well as God of the dead. That though these outer selves we carry are wasting away, though time will have its due and take its toll, our souls are being built up day after day after day. And though this outer shell we wear, it will crumble. It cannot carry us all the way. There is an inner self that God is at work within every single one of us. And he's growing us up in him. He's building up our souls. He's cultivating us, what we need on the inside to see our way through. Our promise in Jesus Christ is life. That though we may die, though we may lose the ones that we love, it is not permanent, but it's a temporary thing. That a day is going to come when Christ himself will welcome us home. That our souls will reunite with the love and the hope that we've lost here on earth. I'm reminded, I love these words by Martin Luther King. It says, in the final analysis, our ability to deal creatively with shattered dreams and blasted hopes will be determined by the extent of our faith in God. A genuine faith will imbue us with the conviction that there is a God beyond time and a life beyond life. Thus, we know that we are not alone in any circumstance, however dismal and catastrophic it may be, that God dwells with us in life's confining and oppressive cells. And even if we die, having not received the earthly promise, he will walk us down that mysterious road called death and lead us at last to the indescribable city that he's prepared for us. Let us never feel that God's creative power is exhausted by this earthly life and that his majestic love is locked within the limited walls of space and time. The God we love, the God we know, is at work in ways beyond anything we can imagine. The creative God is not locked into just what we see, but in ways beyond what we can understand, God is creatively at work. And it may just be that this lively disappointment that I feel, this pain I'm experiencing, these moments of heartache and loss may be moments in time where God wants to meet us in a powerful way. It may just be that when I am in the midst of these pain, these disappointments in this life, it may just be exactly in this place that God wants us to see him in his glory and in his majesty. Lazarus had no complaints. He was content with his life. When he got sick, he tried. He fought. He did what he thought he could do to get better. He tried to encourage his sisters. He tried to let them know everything's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Things are going to work out. But when his time came, he was ready to go. He was ready to move on. But God wasn't quite done with him yet. Jesus had the sisters and those who were there take him to the tomb. Martha's like, Jesus, come on, he's been dead for days. It's not going to be pleasant. If we take this rock away, it's not going to be good. Anything you could have done, that time's passed. It's too late. He's gone now. There's nothing that you can do. But Jesus said to Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And they took the stone away. And Jesus cried out to God, in a loud voice, he yells to God. And when he finished, he said, "Lazarus, come out." It says, "The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" The man who death had claimed, the man who was gone and dead, walked out of that tomb. And everybody there was amazed. They could not believe the thing that they were seeing. The one they'd given up is gone, Christ reclaimed. The one they'd given up for lost, Christ called by name, and everybody saw him walk out of that tomb alive. And they couldn't help but believe in Jesus Christ. In that moment of time, Christ revealed the awesome glory of God. And it leaves us with this tension, because sometimes we're going to feel the hurt and the disappointment. Sometimes we're going to feel the loss in inexplicable ways. But then there are other times. There are other moments where God's going to show up and surprise us. And he's going to do something that we wouldn't have even known to ask for. God's going to do something that we wouldn't even know how to expect. There's going to be these moments in time that God helps us in incredibly unexpected ways. We can absolutely never guess what God is going to do. We can absolutely never, ever say, "God's 100% going to do this and never going to do this." We don't know what God might do. There will be times that we feel the pain and the intense disappointment where we will be overwhelmed. But then there will be other times where we will be overwhelmed with joy, where we will be surprised at what God wants to reveal to us about who he is and what he wants to do. Because this God that we know, this God that we love, is capable of more than we could think or imagine. His power, his might, what he's capable of doing are beyond what we can comprehend. Because the very one who conquered death, he's the one at work. The very one who could not be contained is the one with the vision for what he wants to see take place in the future. And in that moment, God's glory was revealed in powerful ways. People who were there saw God in a new way. The God they thought they knew, the God they thought they had all pegged down and understood, surprised them, showed them things they didn't even know to expect. And friends, it just might be that even in our moments of pain, even in the hardest times in our life, God wants to reveal his glory to us. That in my saddest moments, when my heart is its most broken, that God might just want to meet me there. That God might just want to show me a side of himself that I've never known before. That God might want me to know him in a way that I never even thought about or considered. It may just be that some of the greatest glory that God wants to show us of himself happens in these moments of pain, happens in these moments of misunderstanding and confusions, happens in these moments of sorrow and overwhelming pain. And in Lazarus, we get to see something of what God is capable of doing. Because not long after this, the time came when Christ gave up his life for us. The time came that a tomb could not hold our Lord. A time came when not even death could prevent Jesus Christ from doing what he'd come to do here in this world. And Christ reveals to us the glory of how awesome and good God is. But there are two sides to death. There is the side that we see, and then there's the side that we don't. The side that we can't see. I can't see what happens after somebody takes their last breath. We can be there in the moment when they take their last breath, but then they're gone. And their body remains, but their soul does not linger. But we don't get to see what happens after that last breath. But in Lazarus, God gives us this glimpse of what he's capable of doing and what he's one day going to do for those who believe. Because Christ called Lazarus and he came out of the tomb. They unbound the linens from around his body and he walked free of disease. He walked free of pain and free of death. And there's going to be a day that comes when Jesus Christ calls us home, when we get to stand before Christ. And he's going to command the disease that's wrecked our bodies to let us go. When he's going to look at the hurt that's been a constant companion in my life, our life, and say, let my daughter be. You don't have a hold here anymore. There's going to be a day that comes when he looks to the trauma that's dogged us all our life and say, let my son go. Your time is done. There's going to be a day that comes that Christ commands death to leave us be, and it will happen. And the disease and the pain and the hurt and the trauma will go, and our souls will shed the pain and the weight, and we will walk in the glory of Jesus Christ. And in this day, he's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to look at death and say, be no more. He's going to take away the mourning and the sorrow and the crying and the pain. And in that day, a new day will come. And we will walk in the glory and the love of Jesus Christ. Because when Christ tells us he is the resurrection and the life, he's promising something to us. He's promising that this work he started, he will see it through. He's promising that that good work he wants to do in each and every single one of us, he's not finished yet. God isn't done, not with me and not with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would hear our hearts right now. I pray, Father, that you would hear the cries of our hearts, Father, where we are disappointed, where we are wrecked with pain and loss, where we are overcome with sorrow, Father, would you meet us here? Give us the courage to bring these things to you. Give us the hearts, Father, to lay them down at your feet. And then I pray, Father, that in this time you would meet us where we are, that you would lift us up, and you would do a new and good work in our hearts. I pray, Father, that in this moment you would trade our sorrow for joy. I pray that in this moment you would take away the pain and give us strength in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that we would hear this promise of yours that in you, you are the resurrection and the life, and we would walk with you new today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.